Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. And our text today is about the Lord trying the hearts, because the Bible says the Lord trieth the hearts. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. The fining pot is for silver. You know what it takes to refine silver? Fire. And the furnace for gold. You know what it takes to refine gold? Fire. But the Lord trieth the hearts. Then that's going to be something like fire. Now notice, and this is something very important for us as Christians to keep in mind. Your heart will be tried by the Lord. It really will. It's not unusual to imagine that somebody's going to be tried, to see what they're made of, to see what their character is, to see how they'll stand. Listen, haven't you gone to school? Didn't the teachers try you as a student with exams to see what you knew of the things that they had taught you? When young men and young women are in school and they want to participate in athletics, don't they have to try out for the sport to see what they're made of, to see what their abilities are, to see whether or not they'll make the team? When they're in drama or in musicals, don't they have to audition for the parts? When preachers are brought into churches, don't they try to pass the search committee? The search committee actually tries out the pastor for a little while to make sure that the congregation will be happy with him over the long haul. In military, they go to boot camp. They have to pass all the obstacles on the obstacle course and meet minimum standards in order to be able to, you know, to go on in the military. Cowboys will try out horses. You test drive a car. You test drive a boat. That's the way you find out about it. So if you're going to do that in school, if you're going to do that in church, if you're going to do that in the military, if you're going to do that when you're buying vehicles, then why isn't the Lord going to try your heart? He is. The Lord is going to put you through some things, some tests, some obstacles to check you out. I mean, if you look in the Bible, you can see where he has done that before. For instance, if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, you'll see that the Lord tried the Jews in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Verse 1 for the context, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. So the commandments were to help them when they get into the land of Canaan. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and, watch it, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What did he do? He tried their hearts. To know what was in thine heart, he said, whether thou would keep his commandment or no. When the Lord had the Jews out in the wilderness and they traveled around out there for 40 years, he wanted to know whether they would keep his commandments. He wanted to know, and he wanted them to know, that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the only way they were going to know that is to have their faith tried. You know, it reminds me, for instance, again, in the military, they'll go through exercises that are recreations of what it's like in war, and they'll do the exercise over and over and over and over and over again until it becomes absolute second nature. That way, when guns are going off and bombs are going off, the men can concentrate and the women can concentrate on what they're supposed to do in that particular drill and make it happen. And make it happen. They're proven, see? They're a proven product. Nobody then has to wonder under those circumstances what they're going to do. The Lord tried the Jews in the wilderness. And Israel is my son, he said to Pharaoh when he got him out there. And yet he put him through something. Now Hezekiah was a very good king. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, we find out that Hezekiah was tried. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31. The Bible says, regarding Hezekiah, that he flunked the test. You see, after he was healed, ambassadors from Babylon came, you know, basically to congratulate him on his healing and also to see the place. And the Bible says, howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, in the New Testament, I know it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I understand that. But here, the Bible says God left Hezekiah to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. And the Bible says, the Lord trieth the hearts. Now, what was he doing here? Well, he wanted to see how Hezekiah would go. You see, the Lord healed Hezekiah and gave him 15 more years of life. And then the ambassadors showed up, and Hezekiah showed them all of the stuff, and all of a sudden he said, it was my stuff, the glory of my kingdom, my treasures in my house. Now, wait a minute, something's way wrong there, because, you know, Hezekiah was on his deathbed. And if he had more years where these ambassadors could come to see the great things that were in the kingdom, Hezekiah had to know that, man, I was in a position where I was getting ready to lose all of this and my life. This isn't my stuff, my house, my kingdom, and all these things that bring great honor to me. These are God's things, and if I had died, they'd have been my son's things, and whoever else is here. This is the Lord's house. It's his treasures. But Hezekiah didn't do it that way. These big ambassadors came, big shot from Babylon, and so Hezekiah put on the big shot thing, and his heart was lifted up in pride. You know what happened? Those Babylonians came in there, and here's the result. They lusted after the stuff that they saw. And Hezekiah forgot that it was God's stuff and forgot that he was a dead man before, and none of that stuff would have been his. You know, I'm reminded. Several years ago, I was at some sort of a social function, you know, like a wedding reception, perhaps. Something like that. Maybe I was at a reception following a funeral. In any case, while I was there, I saw a number of old acquaintances, really enjoyed visiting with them, and one in particular caught my attention. She was a cancer survivor. She had breast cancer, and she had survived it. She had been healed of her cancer. And she and her husband lived in a beautiful old home. And they had sold that home because all the kids had moved out, and they moved into one that was a little newer, a little easier to keep, that kind of thing. And so they moved. And when they did, they had the movers come, because they had accumulated so many things over the years. They had the movers come and pack up everything for them. And you know, when a moving company comes and they're going to take responsibility for the move, then they've got to pack up everything, all the dishes and the pictures and all that stuff. And so the moving company did that. And when they were moving the stuff to the new house, my friend was there, and she was holding the door open for one of the movers as he was walking in carrying a very heavy box that had been well packed. And when he was coming up the steps into the new house, he stumbled and dropped that box right at her feet. Not on her feet, but at her feet. And I mean, as soon as that box hit the ground, she said, you could just hear the contents inside of that box crumble. Now, that box was marked, and she knew what it was before she ever had to look inside of it. That was some heirloom china. That china had belonged to her grandmother, I think even maybe to her great-grandmother, but certainly to her grandmother. It had been in the family for years and years and years. It was beautiful china, beautiful china. And I mean, when that box hit the ground and that stuff inside of there crunched, that mover looked up at her with the most horrified look on his face that you can imagine. I mean, the blood drained out of that man's head. Because, I mean, he had just lost something for her that could not be replaced. No way. And I mean, he looked up at her with that look of dread like, oh my God, she is going to kick me right off of these stairs. I'm going to be fired. My life is over. And you know what? She didn't look at him that way at all. Instead, when he looked up with that look of dread, she just smiled and she said, that's okay. Drop another one. I don't care. He looked at her with the most mystified look. She said, that's right. I have recently survived cancer. And the life that I now live, I live by the grace of God, and I have learned through this whole ordeal that all of these possessions mean absolutely nothing to me at all. Break another one. I don't care. I am so happy to have the life that I have. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. That woman knew that that life that she had been given was overtime, and it was, she considered, a gift of the Lord God. And suddenly, things that were so important in life were no longer important, and things that she had not considered before had become the most important things to her that she could imagine. And you know what? Hezekiah didn't get that lesson. He missed it. God left him to try him to see what was in his heart. And he didn't have that in his heart. And it was a great disappointment. It was a failure. But, you know, you find those things out when you get tried. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, I'm telling you, boy, if I were ever in circumstances like this, that this is what I would do. For instance, whenever they have a child, you know, a man has a child that gets in a great deal of trouble, and then his friend who has a child says, oh, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't handle it like that at all. What I'd do if I were in your shoes, I'd do this. Or a person is going through a great marital difficulty, and they say, well, oh, man, I'll tell you what, if I were in your shoes, I'd do that. Or all of a sudden they go and receive the dreadful news from the doctor, and the doctor says, you've got cancer. You're going to have a serious problem. And the fellow says, okay, well, what I want to do is I want to take the treatment. And another fellow says, oh, boy, I'll tell you what, if I were in your shoes, I wouldn't get that treatment. I'm going to tell you something. You don't know that. You don't know that at all. You know why you don't know it? Because you've never been in those circumstances. And until you have, you don't know what you'd do. You see, Hezekiah had never been in that circumstance before. And when those ambassadors came and he blew it, he may have said before, man, if that ever happens to me, I'll tell you what, I'll make sure that God gets the glory for these things. But then when he was under the pressure and the ambassadors were there, his true character was revealed. So you might have said before, well, I'll tell you what, if I were in your shoes, this is how I would handle it. You don't know. You've never been there. People have asked me before, if you were told by a doctor that you had cancer, would you take the treatment? And I said, I can't answer you. I cannot honestly answer you. I do not know what I would do. I have never been presented with that before in my life. Now, I had a little scare for about 4 days this year, as a matter of fact. And I tell you, I didn't think about treatment, and I didn't think not about treatment. I started thinking about pallbearers. I started thinking about funeral arrangements. I started thinking about my will. Tell you, that kind of thing, boy, when you go to the doctor and you find out that there may be a possibility that you have cancer, you don't know what you do. You've never heard the news before. And unless you have, you don't know how you'll react. You don't know what you'd do in those circumstances. You don't know what you'd do if your child did whatever the other man's child did. You don't know what you'd do if your spouse did what the other man's spouse did. You don't know what you'd do until you hear the news yourself. And then you know. And that's the trial. That's what reveals your heart. That's what shows you what your real character is under those circumstances. And until you've been put in that man's shoes yourself, you don't know. So God puts you through the trial to reveal that kind of thing about you, to find out what you will do. Now look at Jesus Christ. Jesus was tried in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. I mean, he was sent out there by the Spirit of God right after his baptism. Welcome to the ministry, my dear son. 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no drink. You get to be tempted by the devil. Joy. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. The tempter came, if thou be the Son of God. That's the way he handles that thing. He always puts a question mark on, if thou be, if. There's no question in his mind. He knew he was the Son of God. Command that these stones be made bread. Another one, he takes him into a city and sets him on the pinnacle of a temple. Says, jump, the angels will catch you. Then takes him up to an exceeding high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said, I'll give you all this if you'll fall down and worship me. Tempted him three times. Well, we found out what was in the Lord's heart. Every single time that he was tempted, he jumped right back with Scripture. Why? Why was he tried? To give us a high priest who could be touched with our infirmities and who could survive this world of sin in perfection, thus setting the high standard of God's righteousness for every man by which we would be judged. He didn't say, this is my stuff, when the devil took him up on that mountain. That mountain said, you see, the devil said, you see this mountain here? Look at all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory. Those things I'll give thee if thou will fall down and worship me. In Luke chapter 4, it says, those things are mine. Jesus didn't say, whoa, dude, wait a minute. How do you think these things got here? I created those. He didn't say that. He didn't say like Hezekiah, that's my stuff. You know what he said? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. When the devil said, command these stones to be made bread, you know what he said? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know why? Because he remembered those Jews had gone through a 40 years of trial. He just went through 40 days of trial. He knew exactly what to answer. Why? It was in his heart. It was in his heart. He came with Scripture. How would you fare? Would you be like the Jews out in the wilderness complaining at every time the Lord allowed some little bad thing to happen to you? You know we're like that, don't you? You get saved, I get saved, we think, boy, everything ought to be a bed of roses, and we find out suddenly that it's not. What do? Complain, murmur, gripe, cry, whine, fuss, talk bad to God. That's the way we are. That's our human nature. And that lets us know that we are very, very weak and immature when we start doing that kind of thing. Now, the Bible tells us, like these, like Hezekiah, like the Jews in the wilderness, like Jesus Christ, we're going to be tried. The Bible tells us that in Proverbs 17:3. The Bible tells that in 1 Peter chapter 1. You're going to be tried. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, you see that furnace is for the gold, and then he starts comparing the trial of your faith to the trial of gold that perisheth by putting it through a fire, might be found what? Unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Why is our faith tried? According to Peter, it's to purify it, to refine it, just like silver that goes through the fining pot and gold that goes through the furnace. It's to purify it, it's to strengthen it. It's to get the impurities out of it so that your faith can bring praise and honor and glory to God when Jesus comes. You say, in what respect? Take old Job. Remember him? Boy, he was sure tried, and God's the one that set it up. That devil came up there, and he said, I've been going to and fro in all the earth and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord said, well, while you were down there, did you consider my servant Job? He's a good man. And the devil said, yeah, well, I'll tell you something. You've just taken too good a care of him. You take all that stuff away from him, he'll curse you to your face. So the Lord said, okay, take it away from him. And the devil came back, yeah, he says, yeah, but you're still taking too good care of him. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And the Lord said, okay, you can touch him, just don't kill him. And so, I mean, old Job goes down with a terrible ailment. Friends that can't really console him. A wife that wants him to curse God and die. And you know what Job did not do? Job did not curse God to his face like the devil said he would. Don't you know that the angels in glory were having a great time of rejoicing, and that God Almighty was having a great time in rejoicing, that old Job's faith was put to the test, and Job passed the test? Now I realize he had some self-righteousness in there. And so God used that to purify him and get that out of him. Old Job said, I want my day in court with God. And when he had it, he said, I'll put my hand over my mouth. I'm vile. I have nothing to say to you. You're right. I'm wrong. So God got all that out of him, and also was able to prove to the devil that God's man will put up with stuff a lot of times that even the devil's men won't put up with. He never did curse God to his face. He passed the test. Now you talk about praise and honor and glory to God. Job did it. 42 chapters in there for one man. That tells you something. That shows you what God's men will endure for the sake of our Savior. And we ought to be able to do that. But you'll never know unless you're put to the test. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, the Bible tells us in no uncertain terms, I, the Lord, try the hearts. That's what he said. I'm going to try you. I'm going to check you out. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God's going to try you out and see how you go, and then he's going to give it to you. Reward you well if you pass the test, and reward you poorly if you don't pass the test. And there's no way to find out unless you're put to the test. And I'm telling you something. When I think about this, it sends the fear of God through me too. I'm just kind of like, oh. You know, you sort of dread it. But he's going to do it. That's the way it's set up, you see. To give you according to your ways. It's just like it is in life. The guy that makes the highest score in the class, he's the one that gets the honor of being the valedictorian. There's honor in that. And God wants to honor his men and his women who can stand there firmly in faith. In Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, David even asked to be voluntarily tried by the Lord. He said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, he's saying, God, search me out so that I can turn to the ways of righteousness and get away from the things that don't please you. And a lot of times you don't know what those things are until you're put to the test. And then you see clearly, you think, man, I thought I'd never do a thing like that. And then you do it, you see. But the Lord puts you through that test so that you can know your heart. He can know your heart. He'll reward you well if you work, you know, through the thing. But also he'll show you where the weaknesses are so that you can strengthen those areas of your life and be stronger. I mean, like it is in school. I've taken tests decades ago, and I still remember some of the things that were on those tests. You know what I remember? The mistakes. I remember the things that I answered wrong and incorrectly. You say, well, what good is that? That told me never to do that again, that I'd made that mistake, that I had it wrong, and right there I could fix it. So you see, when the Lord tries your heart, there are three good results at least. The first good result is it'll strengthen your faith. It'll cause you to be able to accomplish what Paul told Timothy we need to do, endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And the only way that's going to happen is to have that faith tested. When you go to the gym to work out and you're pumping iron, the only way that you're ever going to strengthen yourself is to put yourself through more weight than you can bear and push that as hard as you can, as many times as you can, so that your muscles fatigue, and then what will happen is, as they recover, they will be stronger than they were before you did that. Cause you to be able to, listen, old Peter's faith was tried several times, and by the time the Lord really needed him in the battle, Peter was ready. Peter didn't do too good when he stepped out of the boat. Peter didn't do too good the night of the betrayal. But boy, he did well in Acts chapter 2. He preached and 3,000 souls got saved. He did well in Acts chapter 10. Those visions came and Peter put the two and two together when the three Gentiles came, and he said, I'm supposed to go with these guys. And he went with them and preached to Cornelius, and that was the opening of the gospel to the Gentiles. And then he went back and dealt with the Jews, and it's a good thing because Paul had a lot of trouble with them, and Peter was the apostle to the Jews, and there were thousands of them saved there in Jerusalem under his ministry. So there's good results in that. Strengthens your faith. I'll tell you something else. It'll increase your patience. It'll increase your patience. According to James chapter 1, it will. The trial of faith in James is that it works patience. James chapter 1, verse 3. The trying of your faith, he says, you don't fret when these things happen. God's trying to do something for you, trying to help you to learn some things. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. it'll increase your patience. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you're waiting, and so am I, by faith on some things that we know are coming and hadn't seen them yet. And the trouble with us is we're always in such a rush. Listen, Moses and the Jews got frustrated with God when Pharaoh increased the rigor after they disclosed to him that God had said they were supposed to go out in the wilderness to worship God. Pharaoh made it rougher. They all went back to God and said, hey, what's this? You told us if we told Pharaoh, he'd let us out. No, God said he's not going to let you out. He will later. They forgot about that. But I'll tell you what, as you watch Moses send those plagues into Egypt, he got tougher and meaner and tougher and stronger. And every time he went in there to tell Pharaoh something bad was going to happen, I'm telling you, he did not mince his words toward the end. He got right in Pharaoh's face. He said, now this is how it's going to be, pal. And you can see his faith strengthening and his patience strengthening through that whole process. That's a good result. Increased his pay. Hey, God, I can wait on you as long as you, because I know you're going to get us out of here. And then the third thing it'll do for you, at least, is it'll clean you up. God will show you things in your heart that you can't see. And that is, like a friend of mine said recently, he will show you things you're not even aware of. And truthfully, I'm going to tell you something. If you survive the test, which you'll do. I mean, if you'll just trust God, you'll survive it. If you survive the test, you will be a testimony to the next guy going through that he can do it. He can look at you and say, look, that fellow passed the test. I can do it. I can make it. I can make it. You'll be an encouragement to them. So don't whine. Don't complain. Don't gripe. Don't bellyache when trouble starts coming your way. Recognize that is probably a trial of your faith. Allow the circumstance to strengthen your faith, to increase your patience, and to clean you up. And to be an example to other Christians that when God does that, it's because he loves you and he's trying to help you. He's not trying to hurt you. And that'll be a good thing.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.